This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Holy crap, this is amazing.
What did you want to start over?
Honestly,
because now there's an announcement of who the villain's going to be.
Is there?
Yeah.
Did I see that?
It's Alan, the Serenity dude.
Oh, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see that. And also, James Bond is going to be the chief.
James Bond.
Timothy Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
They just announced that today.
And it's for Doom Patrol, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't care. We can do whatever.
Do you just want to put that part with the other part?
Yep, I can do that. Because Alan Tudyk is Mr. Nobody.
Correct. Which is cool because he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it kind of, I haven't watched it, but it reunites Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk, right? Weren't they both
Nathan Fillion is doing
Robot Man.
No.
Yes.
No, that's Brendan Fraser is doing Robot Man.
Really?
Right?
No.
Then who the hell is Brendan Fraser?
I didn't think Brendan Fraser is doing anybody.
I am completely 100% utterly confused by you.
I am 100% confused by you.
Ugh, you're killing me.
No, you're killing me.
No, you're killing me. Here is the official tweet from DC. Brendan Fraser will be playing Cliff Steele, a.k.a. Robot Man, for DC Universe's live-action robot Doom Patrol.
Oh, okay.
Where did you get Nathan Fillion from?
I don't know. Maybe I just, like,
I mean, it would be awesome if he was on it, but I don't think, unless I missed an announcement, I don't think he is.
Okay. Yeah, probably not. Since he, you know, he's, well, maybe not anymore, but.
Well, he's got some new show on the Rookie or something, where he is a police officer that's old.
Yeah. Maybe I was just hoping it was him. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the two of us talked about Brendan Fraser being Robot Man in, like, either the last episode or the one before that.
I know. Yeah. It's been a long day, so it's fine.
I know. And to be honest with you, the holiday weekend completely messed me up.
Yeah, it did, me too.
That, because instead of, you know, because, I mean, I work Saturdays anyway.
Right.
But instead of being off Sunday, Monday, I worked Sunday, and I was only off Monday. So all day Tuesday, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's Monday.
Yeah.
And I've been completely off all week.
Yeah, I totally get it. Because that's how it is. Like, today, I'm assuming it's Tuesday, but it's, like, new comic book day all day.
Yeah. Yeah, and because I'm normally off on Wednesdays, but I switched my day off because of the start of the school year, and I work today. It's even more confusing.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, now that I cleared up the confusion about Doom Patrol, did you read the Silencer annual?
I did.
Now, this annual does everything that I like annuals to do. It tells, like, an origin story. It's not, like, for me, I like getting, like, a good story annual, not just, like, some random garbage bullcrap that's like, oh, we're going to tell a comedy story and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But this one, I mean, it basically tells you how she met her husband.
Yes.
Where she met her husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was I think it's funny that it's, you know, her kid wants to go to Gotham.
Yeah.
Or is asking about it, and her husband's like, oh, yeah, remember, we haven't been there in forever. And it turns out he was the real estate agent that set her up with her apartment rental when she was there to, you know, on a mission.
Do a stakeout, yeah.
Yeah. But I like it. It gives a lot of backstory on how Leviathan was starting, and it gives a lot of, like, background on her character, where basically Talia says, you know, wait for the instructions.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, one page of her literally just sitting in a bed, sitting on the bed looking out the window.
Yep.
Just waiting for the phone to ring.
Mm-hmm. Forrest Gump style.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed this story. I mean, she thinks she's there to kill Batman. or whatever, but she's actually there to help protect him.
Yeah.
Because her father, well, not her father, Talia's father, sent, who was it? Crap, just forgot his name. What was the big guy?
Yeah.
Ravager or something?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
It's been the Reaper.
The Reaper, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Reaper, Ravager?
Something.
Yeah, I think the Reaper. But it's good stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, like, where I like the annuals to be, like, it doesn't have to go with the whole series.
Right.
You know, it could be a zero issue, if you will.
Yeah.
Or it could be a point whatever issue. Like, you know, this story takes place before Silencer 3 and 4, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Like side stories type stuff. But yeah, it's still one of the best New Age of Heroes books. So,
I mean, honestly, I think it's one of the better DC books.
Yeah, it's right up there.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, now that Injustice is off, I mean, I needed something else to fill that gap.
Yeah.
And this does it pretty well. I mean, unfortunately, I only get one issue for every four issues of Injustice, but yeah. I'll still take it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, was it weird on Tuesday not having a new issue?
It was, dude. See? And that, like, threw my days off, too, right?
Yeah. I kept checking.
Yeah,
Yeah. Let me hop on Comixology and see. I'll grab the new Injustice. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, see, it didn't even dawn on me until later in the day. So I kept checking, like, every hour, every 2 hours, like I was a crackhead. Like, where is it? I know it's there. Maybe it's not out yet. Maybe I'll go back. Well, what the hell, Comixology?
Maybe there was some kind of problem with the server. Yeah. I'll look again.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I realized, I was like, damn it, I forgot.
Well, I mean, the series has to go on because they didn't finish it.
Right, yeah. It's just a break in the season.
I'm guessing Injustice 2, Year 2 is going to start up at some point soon.
Yeah, I would say you're right.
I hope so. But, I mean, it's not going to be, who is writing it, Tom Taylor?
Tom Taylor, yep.
Yeah. It seemed like, what was it, 72 was the last one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, it seemed like that was his goodbye for now. So, we'll see.
He's doing some things at Marvel, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Suffer and suck a tat.
Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about those books?
Do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I read them all.
Okay.
I suffered my way through those.
So, which book was your favorite?
Let me preface it by saying I did not love any of them.
Okay. Which, let me correct you and say that you're wrong, but okay.
No, for all four of them,
uh-huh.
I think I liked the backup story more than the main story.
Interesting. So which one did you not hate the most then?
The Lex Luthor Porky Pig one.
Okay.
I think was my least disliked of them all.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you even read Harley Quinn one?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. Like, every two pages, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I hate this book. And I'm like, oh, I'll keep going. And then, like, I'd get a little farther, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, the crappiest crap. And then I was like, well, 14 pages in, I may as well just read the last couple. And then, like, I'd read a couple more. I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, 45 pages long. I forgot they were longer, but they had a backup story. But the backup was better.
See, I thought they all four were fun, like they all have been. And you're right, some wavered better than others. But I guess, like the Porky Pig one and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Like first read through, I didn't really like it. Because I guess for me, like, I'm reading them as DC characters in that cartoon, right?
Okay. Makes sense.
But that one didn't feel that way.
Wait, this one didn't feel like a DC character, but you're going to tell me that when you read the Joker Daffy Duck one,
Daffy
Duck felt like a DC character?
No, I'm saying, like, no, the opposite. Like, I'm reading them like I would watch the old cartoons, the old Looney Tunes cartoons, right?
I got it.
With like guest appearances by DC characters. Okay. Right,
like how Batman would show up on Scooby-Doo.
Right, right. But like, I think that's why I didn't enjoy the Porky Pig Lex Luthor one as much the first read-through, because it was like the opposite. It was like, kind of like what Elmer Fudd was in Batman. You know, it was kind of it towed the line of being an actual DC story instead of being a Looney Tunes story type of thing. And it just caught me off guard.
See, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I disagree on that, because it felt like a Porky Pig story to me.
All right.
Because
I just thought it was more darker than...
Well, it was, because the entire thing was Lex Luthor using him as a fall guy.
I know.
But he's too dumb to figure it out.
Yeah. But you know? which makes it more like a realistic, darker story, instead of like, you know, putting a fake hole on a side of a mountain and then you run through it and then the other person tries to go and slams into the wall.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess.
But, so there's another batch coming though, right? This is where we get Hal Jordan and Space Ghost and stuff, right?
Well, that's the next DC Hanna-Barbera ones.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, like it seems like, I guess it's every year they do a set of both, right? Because there were the other Hanna-Barbera DC ones.
Mm-hmm.
Followed the other Looney Tunes ones, right? Because the last group was like Flash and Speed Buggy.
Yeah.
And because that's all the Hanna-Barbera stuff, right?
Right, yeah. Hong Kong Fooey and Black Lightning and that type stuff.
Yeah, because before that was the Elmer Fudd Batman.
Yeah.
And whatever the other ones around then, I don't remember.
Yeah, Wonder Woman and whatever. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the next ones up again are going to be... I think it's October or December. I forget.
December, I think.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Because I remember I was looking up some of the stuff and we saw the release date was a while. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember reading this. I'm like, oh, because it comes out like 4 months from now.
Yeah. Because if I did, I'd go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, thinking about it now, I definitely like the Lex Luthor Porky Pig the best. I mean, like far and away the best.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't like about it was the whole stupid thing about the sandwiches being stolen.
Yeah. Well, I think that was to try to keep it on the lighter side of stuff, right?
Right. But, yeah. I don't know. For me, it was more annoying than anything else. But I like the whole premise of we're going to make a social network for people who have been thrown off of other social networks.
Yeah.
But, I mean... And this one actually is very true to, I guess, the world today, where, you know, even Lex Luthor is on, I forget what they called the network. Yeah. He's there. He's getting trolled by Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
And then he doxes Daffy Duck. And it's like all crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a cartoon version of now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't know if you know this or not, but Twitter's full of not cool people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, everybody that's on Twitter that listens to this show is cool, but, you know, there are some El Dumbassos out there.
I'm guessing you read all the backups and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The backup for this one,
uh-huh,
where Porky is going, I guess, as a salesman for Acme.
Yeah.
Trying to sell stuff to Lex Luthor, and like everything is just like, you know, dumb items. And he's like, oh, can you, you know, what was it? Like, can it detect aliens? Can it kill aliens? Can it, you know, can we destroy alien currency? Can we, whatever. I just thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know, and of course he's got whatever machine he has that like is controlling those robots that are beating the heck out of Superman. And there's like just like a little slot on the top that just randomly says "do not insert a paperclip" or something.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Porky's got the butterfingers and drops a paperclip that goes exactly in there and destroys the robots. Just like,
that one was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I don't know who. I'm guessing it was like a Looney Tunes animator that drew it.
Yeah.
Because it was very much cartoon-esque. I mean, all the backups were very much in the Looney Tunes cartoon style.
Yeah. Which I kind of like that. Like the change up in the stories and the change up, you know, in the art style.
Yeah.
Because if you would have flipped it, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see all four of these books. I'd probably give a 3.5 to 4 solid. Just for fun factor. I mean, like, you know, we both read lots of books, like lots and lots of books that are deep and, you know, layers on layers and stuff. And I'm sure I've said that over and over again. But these were like good palate cleanser ones. And you just sit back and enjoy and read them. And it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I just wish one of them wasn't Harley Quinn.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the PR machine working.
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because I always like Gossamer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. That book, like, if I had to read giant, bold, outline-colored print with her saying, "Geez Louise," one more time.
Just think of your the letter on that book.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Ugh, awful. The Joker Daffy Duck one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. This book just annoyed the shit. It really annoyed me.
All right.
That he's just like, you know, whatever. He got caught, you know, because he's looking for the Acme company to complain about something and then sees the Joker killing his henchman or whatever. And then he just becomes like the number one henchman for the Joker. And you're just like, what?
Yeah. I mean, that's Daffy's character, though.
Yeah.
He's like the first, like, anti-character.
No.
Yeah. Okay, just think, like, you have Elmer Fudd, and you have Bugs, and you have Daffy, right? Mm-hmm. So, Elmer Fudd's always hunting Bugs, and, you know, duck season, rabbit season thing.
Never heard of it.
But Daffy's always, like, the mischievous one, and that's why, like, at the end, it plays out the way it does in this book.
Wait, how is he the mischievous one and not Bugs, who's the one who turns everything around on Daffy, always.
Well, oh, yeah.
Daffy's the one that gets a bomb, explodes in his face, and his beak swings around his head.
yeah. And then you got Bugs, like, chewing on his carrot, and he's like, "Ain't I a stinker?"
I don't know. Maybe because this one, to me, I think I read this one after I read the Harley Quinn one.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had the foul stench of that Joker on my mind.
Okay.
That just like the Joker in this one annoyed me more than anything else. And Daffy in this one annoyed me. And I don't know.
Okay, so Daffy in this one annoyed you because he didn't act like Daffy? Or like Daffy? What is
this
it?
This whole book just annoyed me.
Are you duck racist or what?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not a fan of mallards.
That's a shame. It's a true shame.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, who wrote? I think Scott Lobdell wrote this, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I've been really enjoying his stuff, but this one felt really off to me. It's the same thing with the Catwoman, Tweety, and Sylvester. Gail Simone wrote that, and I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, you're out of your freaking mind on that, because that hit every beat of the Sylvester and Tweety cartoon and of Catwoman all at the same time.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Conceptually, I enjoyed the book, but it got way, way ridiculous.
Oh, it's freaking Catwoman and Sylvester and Tweety.
Nah, even for that, it was way ridiculous. Like, I.
You're ridiculous.
I never said I was.
Oh, my God.
I like, you know, you have the witches or whatever that are arguing over cats and birds.
Yeah.
And they make the bet and you're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I get, you know, you have Tweety and Sylvester. I get that you have, okay, I'll give you Black Canary and Catwoman. But by the end of this, like anyone with a name that's even remotely close to a bird or a cat.
Uh-huh.
No.
That's what made it fun.
Oh, my goodness. No, that's what made me, like, completely tune out.
That's because you, Arabelle, hate good things.
No. I don't hate good things.
You hate enjoyment.
No, I hate everything. But like, I mean, the
see
where was the part that really pissed me off? The whole thing with when they're like, oh yeah, when Raven shows up. Yeah, her name is Raven, but she's a friggin' demon. She has nothing to do with being a bird. And then they're like, oh yeah, Starfire's descended from cats. You're like, what?
Raven is a bird.
By name.
How many times has she like done her little smoke thing and it looks like a phoenix or a raven?
It looks like a raven because her name is Raven.
Yeah.
She's not a bird. She's a demon.
Yeah, but a raven is a bird.
Oh my goodness.
I can't explain the whole Starfire cat thing, so.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was Star Fox. They were kind of stretching it there, but.
Honestly, I got no idea.
So I can't defend that one very much, but. Dude, this. I mean, it's just ludicrous, and yeah, it's ridiculous. Like you said, yes, it's ridiculous, but it's not like I was going in looking for. To read the Odyssey or something.
I don't know, man. And also, I don't understand. The whole thing with Black Canary performing the concerts or whatever.
Uh-huh.
If she was, this was the first concert that she was doing that she wanted to be like this, you know, intimate piano and singing thing instead of like her punk rock, whatever.
Right.
But like, how would the crowd know before the concert started that it was going to be this totally different thing and only like a dozen people show up in the audience?
I mean, like, maybe it's karaoke night.
But it. Just say you're like a huge fan of the Ramones and the Ramones are going to play, you know, like this little dive bar place that holds 100 people. You would be like, holy crap, I'm going to go get tickets to see this. And then like if they showed up and just played like, you know, Frank Sinatra standards, you'd be like, I'm very confused. But the place would still be packed because people would have bought those tickets in a second.
But what if she was just passing by and like it was a prompt too? Thing.
But it wasn't because the whole thing, it's an evening with Black Canary and she's talking about she has a whole week of concerts like this.
Well, maybe her last album tanked like this whole podcast does. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like all of our fans are old crotchety grouchy people that hate everything like you.
Yeah, then we're golden.
So then it's like, well, I really want to go see Canary sing, but nah, I'd rather stay in tonight. I'm too lazy. And then all of a sudden you got only 10, 20 people there.
Ridiculous. But she still would have had the money, and she's not complaining about it being a financial disaster or whatever.
Right?
Listen, you just don't know the music business.
Well, I mean, I don't. But I can do karaoke pretty good.
Man, oh man.
All right, so we'll move on from them four. What's the next book you want to talk about?
I'm trying to think what came out last week. Oh, yeah, the Red Hood and the Outlaws annual, right?
Yep.
I really like this.
And that's it?
I mean, that's all you got? Yeah, that's all.
All right, awesome. Cool.
Is a good book. I know you weren't a huge fan of the art.
I wasn't a huge fan of the art, no. But I really enjoyed the story that it told.
Yeah.
Because the reason why they're best friends is because they're both damaged and broken.
Yep. This is another in the, this is why I enjoy annuals.
Yeah.
That they, they didn't want to take the time in the main book to, you know, take a break from the story to tell this part of the story.
Right.
Which is why, hey, okay, fifth week, here's an annual.
Well, kind of, though, right? Because in the last issue, we see Arsenal save him, basically.
Right, right. But when it comes back, I think the new issue comes out next week.
Yeah.
When the next issue comes out, though, now they don't have to tell the whole recovery story.
Right.
You know, right, so right. They can jump up again.
That was one thing I didn't like about this book, though.
Was it the forehead?
That's no forehead, brother. That's a five head. But
I didn't think that the art was that bad. Like the
well, no,
the
that's couple, not what I wasn't talking about. That part.
Panels that you were yes. sending.
Yeah,
you're like, what the hell? And I'm looking at him like, wow, this is not great. But like reading in context, I didn't even figure. Like I didn't even notice some of the stuff that you said before. Like as I was reading it,
that bizarro looking on that page.
The Bizarro page was not good, but like the one where they were talking, you're like, why is his head so huge? I didn't even realize it as I was reading it.
He looks like Donny Osmond. No, he doesn't. He looks like the Mask. And I'm not talking Jim Carrey. I'm talking Cher. Yeah,
I know. You're talking about
Okay. The one thing I didn't like about this is from the last issue, we see him. He's broken. His helmet's broke. Or his hood is broke. Whatever. Mm-hmm. He got his... Okay, so you get back into the swing of things. I'm not so sure that you would actually put the hood on, right? As to where I think part of the recovery part of it would be like next issue when it changes the creative team and where he gets his new uniform or his new outfit.
You know what? I did not think of that as I was reading the book.
Because now something else is going to have to happen to change his mind about getting a new costume, basically.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
But, I mean, like, the whole thing, I love the whole buddy-buddy thing, right? I'm fixing you because I'm broken and I can't fix myself, or I'm not strong enough to fix myself. So fixing you is like a crutch, I guess. It makes me feel better about me because I'm fixing you.
Right.
Because I can't fix me. But, yeah, the whole... Like, if he would have just went out with something, like year one style Red Hood costume or something like that, I would have been okay with it. But, like, going full-on costume again, it kind of felt weird.
Yeah, I mean, I get having the spare mask and stuff, like, you know, whatever with him, the hood. But, it would make sense that he had just gone through this whole thing with Batman where basically Batman was like, you are dead to me.
Yeah. Like you're been exiled from the Bat family, basically.
Yeah.
Kicked my ass.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if he fought those sisters in no costume at all, I would have been okay with that, I guess, thinking about it now.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, cause I did, I'm not going to lie. I really like the part when they're on the elevator and, you know, the sisters are all on there and he's like, hey, you have, you got the hood, right? As the door's closing, he's like, hand it to me. And of course, you know, the next thing you see is them fighting their way out of the elevator.
Yeah.
But yeah, thinking about it, like I didn't put it in the context of, you know, he wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that he wouldn't be helping Arsenal per se, right?
No, not that, but like... But why would he put on, you know, the red bat and mask?
Yeah, right. And I'm telling you this right now. If you hop back into the time machine, knowing that what we know now and how awesome this book is, and you hop back into the time machine when you can dial to kill Jason Todd or not.
Yeah.
And I may or may not have dialed 10 to 20 times. I think I would have added another 10 to that.
And oh, thank goodness. I thought you were going to go the other way and say that you wouldn't have voted to kill him. And I'm like, no.
No, because it's like playing out so awesomely. Like, this is the they don't always stay dead, but they come back story that is right.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, this is really good.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know. It's been good for a while, like this whole rebirth part of it, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like bunching up. It's kind of, it's going to be weird because now I want to see the Outlaws versus the Outsiders at some point.
Well, I think we might be building to that.
Yeah.
I mean, inadvertently, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that it's the whole thing with him is going to come to a head with Batman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of cool because with Batman's mind state right now type thing. So it's going to be pretty awesome, which also compels to why he beat the holy hell out of Jason, too.
Because he's sick of betrayal.
Yes.
And being let down by people.
Yes.
And me not reading that book.
No. Gary needs to make you a sticky note. And read 51 on up.
No, Gary's asleep right now.
Well, so I'll text him.
He's
fine.
He's had a very long day of laying around on the couch.
Yeah.
Followed by laying around on the bed and then laying around on one of my kids' beds.
Yeah.
And for a bit, he did take a break from all that laying around on beds. Mm-hmm. And he was sleeping on one of the dining room chairs.
Yeah.
But
that he knows he's not supposed to get on.
Yeah. That silly dog.
So, leading into, like, Batman's mental state and blah, 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 right? Because mm-hmm. I know you don't want to talk about it. And you're a fool for not reading it. But, so Nightwing's going to take a big directional change. And it starts with the issue of Batman that comes out this week.
What is okay? that, 54?
Sure. I don't know. So, what, like, get out the magic eight ball. Because there's not a lot that's said, but whatever happens between this Batman arc and in Nightwing is going to change Dick from here on out. How he does superheroing, yada, 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 right?
How he dies in Heroes of Crisis.
He's not going to die.
I'm telling you.
He wasn't on that image.
Doesn't matter. I'm telling you. They're gonna do something in that to make me just want to stop reading.
How can you solve crime and be a superhero if you're dead?
I don't know.
Okay.
How did they kill him and make him a spy last time?
Well, they faked his death. Duh.
No, they killed him because his heart had to stop in order to stop the bomb thing.
Okay.
Then they just brought him back to life.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to kill him? Or do you think that it's going to be something else?
Honestly, I don't know. I think any time in comic books they're like, you know, they build up a story like that.
Yeah.
With, you know, I don't know if they're, you know, tension between the two of them or something. Someone's going to die. It's going to be dumb. And what was the Titans cover or whatever? Or you sent me like a link to something?
That was like something. It was DC Nation. The DC Nation from this week. The cover from this week. Yes. It says, in 21 days, one of these characters dies.
Yeah. And who's on that cover?
You have Booster Gold, Kyle, Reiner, Arsenal, Harley Quinn, Tim Drake, and Booyah! Cyborg.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going to be... They're going to ruin everything. They're going to kill Nightwing, and it's going to be the
Nightwing's
worst.
Not on the cover.
Doesn't matter.
It says, in 21 days, one of these characters dies.
Yep, and that turns out it's not Tim. It was Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
Like, remember that time when they shot Catwoman in the head and you thought she died? But then it turned out it was just Martian Manhunter and he was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or that one time when we thought the Joker was the Joker, but it was actually Lois Lane.
Yeah. Or that time we thought that Clark Kent was a mystery and it turned out to be Mr. McSexaplex or whatever the hell his name is.
Right.
It's all garbage.
Okay, this is what I think.
It's going to be Skeets. He's going to get blowed up.
No.
Yeah. It's a distraction.
I think Nightwing's going to get his arm bit off by Killer Croc, and he's going to have a cybernetic arm, a la Winter Soldier style.
I 1,000,000% hope that you were dead wrong on that.
Well, and I saw something. I don't remember what. Maybe it was the Titans trailer things?
Maybe.
Did you see the Titans trailer that had Nightwing cameo in it?
Yeah.
Because he had like a little cybernetic arm looking thing?
No. That was Star Wars, dude. You're thinking of Luke Skywalker.
Huh?
Huh?
No, because Oracle was talking to him and got him through the mission.
Luke Skywalker has the robot hand.
Yes.
His hand got cut off.
Yeah.
You're all confused.
Okay. But I think that's what's going to happen. But
so... You what? Think DC is going to start writing their comics to a TV show?
Kinda. Like they're changing their comic characters like movie characters?
Which is such garbage. Oh my god, now I gotta yell about this again. You have this amazing Aquaman story and this amazing thing with Mira. Now you have the whole crossover with the Suicide Squad going in to Atlantis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize it's actually a nuclear bomb that they're just going to destroy.
Yeah.
you got this amazing storyline in Mira's the Queen, and you're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. And, you know, she's mad that Aquaman was doing stuff without her knowing it. But he's like, you can't know that I'm doing this stuff because you're the queen. Mm-hmm. And it's like all this crazy, awesome stuff. And literally as soon as that storyline ends, they're going to be like, we're throwing all this away. And now look at Aquaman. It's like the movie. Just like, come on, really? Like, why would you do that?
I don't know.
That's like taking Superman and his kid and just being like, yeah, he has no kid anymore. We're going to send him into outer space with his grandfather, who's been dead for 75 goddamn years.
Yeah, I get it. Speaking of Suicide Squad, though, and annuals, because apparently this whole episode's theme is annual.
What was a fifth week? So you got annuals and you got one shots.
I know. Did you read the Suicide Squad annual?
No.
I thought it was it's pretty horrific. Like,
horrific?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one Cullen Bunn wrote, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did pick it up, but I did not read it.
Because it fits your theme of not having to... Like, the team in this book isn't the team because they're already doing their Atlantis stuff.
Right. Right?
So, it's just like, you know, crazy... A crazy team, and you can tell, like, oh, they're gonna die already. But yeah, in a horror like element, and I enjoyed it for that because it actually felt like a Suicide Squad book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, no, it makes perfect sense.
Like, you know, dark and gritty shit's supposed to happen in Suicide Squad. I don't want to see all the glitz and glam and Mr. J's and yeah.
Yep. That's actually the issue of Suicide Squad that led into whatever the last Aquaman was actually like surprisingly really well done because it wasn't that over the top crap. So
yeah,
I did get the annual. I'm gonna have to read it, but I was like, oh, you know, if I realized we were gonna be delayed recording a couple days, I probably could have read more stuff. But I'm like, oh, I definitely have to read the Looney Tunes crossovers.
Well,
The Red Hood book came out this week, so I had to read that. Also, I read the two Jinx World books.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you read them?
I have not yet.
Oh, damn it. I have so many questions.
Well, two more came out this week.
Yeah, I got those. I didn't read anything today.
Okay.
Anything so the day of recording. I will read those when my kids go to school tomorrow.
Why don't we shelve those four, and we'll talk about them next week?
Okay. That
all
works.
At the same time. You know what I'm saying? So then I can get caught up on stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. I have a question before we shelve the Jinx World books, though.
Okay.
Can you tell me what the heck is going on in Pearl? No, I'm joking. the Jinx World stuff, I know it's Bendis has done this stuff before.
Uh-huh.
Is it these books, or it's just like whatever he's done that's not like his main Marvel stuff, I guess. They just call it Jinx World, and that's what it is. Like, are these characters that he's written before?
Some of them are, yes.
Okay. I mean, because
like,
I...
Because, like, he wrote Scarlet, right?
I mean, I don't know. This is the first thing I've ever read of it.
So, I'm trying to... Yes, he wrote one book that had multiple characters in it, and so this is, like, a branch out of that universe, basically. So, like, Black Hammer, and then you have branches of that type of thing, if that makes sense. So the Jinx World is that universe, basically.
Okay, that makes sense. But it's not like... I don't really want to say anything, because, I mean, you haven't read them yet. But, like, it's not like, you know, this issue of Scarlet is, you know, Scarlet Volume 2, and he's already written the first half of a story that explains everything?
Right.
Okay.
Now, that's my understanding. If I'm wrong... I'm sure Martin will yell at us, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said it before. I've read, I read Alias, right? He wrote that?
Yeah.
And that's literally the only Bendis I've read before the Superman stuff, so...
But that's Jessica Jones, so, like, this was before...
No, I know, but, like, the Jinx World stuff, I haven't read anything that's ever been with this. Okay. So when they made the announcement, he's coming and he's going to do Jinx World, I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess. I don't know what this is, so...
Well, I heard other people talking about, like, this is the creators of Powers, right?
I don't know. Did he write that?
the comic powers?
I never read
sure
it.
I'm sure you did. I mean, these might be characters from that. I don't know, but...
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Looks like he did write that.
Yeah.
And it looks like I will probably get some goddamn stupid more books.
Yes!
Oh, Jesus. There's a lot of issues of this.
Powers?
Yeah, volume 1 is 37 issues, volume 2 is 30 issues. 3 shorts, only 11. But then, of course, there's Powers Bureau, volume 1 to 12. And then there's still Powers is coming out?
Yeah.
Oh, did not realize that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Oh, my goodness. Why have I got to read too many books. See, this is why I will never read any of the stuff that you tell me to. It's because just like random conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, you've never read this book? Well, there's not that much of it. There's only 194 issues to catch up on.
Do you remember like a year ago when the PSN tried to do their thing? Like Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff? Do you remember that vaguely?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, well, they did Powers as a TV show, especially for, or exclusively for PSN, but it only outlasted like 8 episodes or something.
You know what?
And,
I don't think I had the PlayStation when that happened.
Okay.
That could have been why.
Maybe. But, Eddie Izzard is, the big bad wolf in it.
Really?
Yeah. I actually thought it was decent. It was kind of gory, but, you know.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, somebody's got to get their, like, lung ripped out.
Set in a world where humans and superheroes coexist.
So, and if, like, all comic book worlds.
Well, yeah, but just like the comic book, though, you follow a homicide detective who has his own powers taken away from him. Like, he was a superhero, and he had his powers taken away.
Interesting.
And so, but he's still doing, like, he investigates crimes involving superheroes.
So
superhumans.
So the book is like a crime series?
Kind of, yeah.
Friggin' A, Ronnie.
Yeah. You're welcome.
To comiXology I go.
So, yeah, and then, like, I don't know if the PSN still has it on there or not, but you might see if they do.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look for that.
Because the comic book kind of gets graphic, but not as graphic as, like, the show does.
Hmm.
But it would be theoretically, it'd be production level to, like, a B TV show type thing. Because, you know, it's Sony and PlayStation trying to make something cool. I enjoyed it for what it was, but like it's not like Star Trek Discovery type of production. You know what I mean?
And apparently Powers is part of Jinx World?
Yeah. That's what
I
was saying.
What you said? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess
I
missed that.
Like all these characters
spawn out of that.
Yeah, right.
Good lord. Now I have to get it.
Now I don't like Pearl, I don't really remember her. It's been a while since I've read Powers.
Okay.
But like I think there's a couple of ones that are new.
Well, this one, Pearl was... Yeah. I really, really liked Pearl without giving anything away.
Okay.
I thought the art style of the book was frigging great.
Uh-huh.
And...
That's the both creators, like Bendis and the artist, did Alias.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name? Michael...
Gracious.
Guidos or something?
Guidos.
Yeah, the style of this book, oh man, it looks great. And the story was crazy.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is I don't know if every single one of these spawn... I mean, it takes place in the Powers world, but I don't know if these characters actually showed up during that series or not is what I meant.
Okay.
So, like, if Pearl... Like, I haven't read it, so... You might already know the answer to this, but, like, I don't know if she showed up in Powers or not, or if she's a brand new character that's spun out of it.
Yeah, I mean...
Type of thing.
Based off of reading the issue, I would say I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, it seems like it's a fresh story. Scarlet seems like it could have been from something else.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. And like Murder, Inc., which is the one that comes
out. That comes out today. Yeah, that one and Cover, I think, came out.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure Scarlet has shown up in Powers, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean, the way the series starts, it seems like a lot of stuff has happened before.
Okay.
So, you know, either that or they're just like, we're just going to throw you into the, you know, three quarters of the way into a story. And we'll just tell it backwards and forwards from here. But that that book reminds me a lot of DMZ.
Okay, yeah. I could see that. The grittiness and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, even story-ish.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so Powers Season 1 is 10 episodes, and Season 2 is 2 episodes. So Season 1 came out in 2015, and Season 2 came out in 2016.
Oh, yeah, that was way before I had the PlayStation.
Okay.
Before I could use my kids wanting video games as an excuse to buy myself video games.
And it was rated TV Mature.
Okay.
And each episode's 42 minutes. And then on IMDb, it's a 6.8 out of 10 rating. So
the second season being two episodes, I'm assuming
two episodes.
Didn't you say two?
No, 10. They're 10 episodes apiece.
Oh, I thought you said two. Jeez. No. Open your ears, man.
I will.
Yeah, because then I thought that you said it was two episodes, and I was like, wait a minute, they would only air two episodes? Like, I mean, you know, they had to have made more than that. So yeah. Can I find them somewhere on like YouTube to watch?
maybe.
No, but I mean, I'll look on the PlayStation. I got a morning.
Yeah, you got a morning.
Stupid half days at school.
Oh. You got anything else?
No, I don't think so. You got anything else?
No, I think I'm cool.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, you're not cool.
I am cool.
You're mildly all right.
I am cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Or as Stuart Scott once said, I'm as cool as the flip side of your pillow.
Man.
You miss Stuart Scott too?
Not really.
Oh.
I miss when, who was it? Keith Olbermann was on SportsCenter.
Okay.
And Craig Kilborn.
Yeah. Craig Kilborn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
Before he originated The Daily Show.
Yeah, right. All right. Wrap us up.
No.
Okay. I will.
Nah. Whatever you want. Well, nah. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with me on Twitter, you can at Aaron S. Bell.
And I'm at Rombar316.
The show is at DC_Absolute. And you could also email the show at AbsoluteDCPodcast@gmail.com. If, I guess, you know, Twitter is too short for you to yell at us about something.
Yeah. You could do it in long form.
Yeah, long form. We'd love to hear it. And I will read your emails on the show so that Ronnie can hear your anger.
Yeah.
And let the hate flow through me.
Well, I mean, they do that every episode anyway, so
yeah, it happens sometimes. So thank you all for listening, and we'll hopefully hear from you soon or something. I don't even know.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy nightmare.
It's the world's greatest super friends,
Ronnie and Aaron.
Yep. I feel like we have strongly different viewpoints before we discuss what each other's viewpoints are.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'll get into my silly speculation.
Aquaman!
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman. He's a hipster.
The Flash world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West. Is this okay? He's like, oh, as long as we don't get caught.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
All this nerd talk.
Ooh. DC Absolute. Yeah. Exactly.
Hell yeah.
And, there's been some good. There's been some great. There's been some really terrible. And there's been some average, I think.
No, that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Absolute worst piece of garbage ever.